Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Know what show we're talking about?
You probably don't. So we are both. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
Thank you for having me back on.
Thank you for being here.
We're just trying to find reasons.
My life.
Yeah. Me too. We're just trying to find reasons to like create things together.
to live.
I was actually at Starbucks before I came over here, and you just walked by me, and I was like, "Oh, hey."
We were both at Starbucks. I was like,
"You were like." You got your stuff and you were like, "I'm leaving."
Yeah.
I was like, in my head before I knew it was you, I was like, "That woman's leaving." And then she turned and I was like, "Oh, hey." And then I drove you to your own apartment
a block away. I got out of bed like kind of late this morning and was like just being like having a slow start to the day and feeling a little lethargic, like a little bit down. And I was like, I got to take this tired body to Starbucks and just try and like refresh myself. Got a nice coffee and an ice water and a spinach feta wrap. And like,
you know, I love Starbucks food.
I know. And
it's great.
As I was like putting my Splendas in my iced coffee, I smiled, being like, "Oh my God, I get to like pod with Carrie today and we get to talk about this show." And it made me really happy. And then you appeared and I was like, this couldn't get any more perfect.
I was like, there you are. And there is a Starbucks barista named Tyler, spelled T-I-L-O-R.
Is that the one with the dyed eyebrows? I love him.
He's really nice.
He complimented my manicure. He has nice nails. And I was like, thank you.
Yeah, there's like a whole, like, it's like a gay, very gay Starbucks.
Yeah, and all the baristas have like their own unique gay energy.
I know.
And like,
and their tags are all like, have like unique gay like decoration.
Yeah. Each one has like a great, their own great personal vibe going on.
There was that really hot one with the huge arms that had like, you know, you can tell he like wears his retainer every night, and he had, his name was Alex.
Love.
But it was like his little flare was just lines, like it was radiating, okay. But it was really simple, and you could tell like he was like, that's quirky.
Yeah, he loved it.
And I was like, I love that for him.
Does he have brown eyes?
Yeah.
He was beautiful, brown eyes.
Beautiful guy.
I know. I almost like told 6'4". Yeah, because he took my order today, yeah. And I was almost like, God, your eyes are so beautiful.
Yeah, he was striking, and I was staring at him before I saw you. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I just kept thinking like he probably was like proud of his little name tag. And I would have been too.
Yeah, that's like artsy.
I worked at Cold Stone. I get it. You have to have some uniqueness. Mm-hmm. Any flair will do.
I feel like when I'm in Starbucks, I'm like they throw me a life raft by just like taking my order and giving me what I need.
Yeah.
For like a very reasonable price.
Also, when you have one, even if it's just one barista knows your name and knows your order,
mm-hmm.
You feel like
king of the world.
You are a high roller. Like, yeah. The one I usually go to, they all know my name.
Mm-hmm.
They have my order ready to go before I'm even, like, done paying.
Wow.
Ahead of the mobile orders.
You're a VIP.
I'm a VIP there.
Yeah, you and really like, are.
If no one knows my name, they do at Starbucks.
At least at Starbucks. You can depend.
They can spell my name right. And it's not Gary.
No, it's Carrie.
It's not Larry. I've gotten all of the different combinations, but I'm like, if I don't go through life, if I spend the rest of my life and no one, and I'm like, just I die like unknown,
I'll invite them to your funeral.
They will have known me there.
Mm-hmm. What's your order of venti iced coffee?
Well, now I've switched to Trenta, and okay. They've made no. I go to a drive-through Starbucks now because I have a car and I'm lazy, so mm-hmm. They know who I am. There's this one cashier, and she sometimes takes your order. Like when you drive up, she's outside and then reports back. Mm-hmm. She is so on it. When I see her, I'm like, oh, yes. Because when she's in charge, I know things are operating.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, here, there you are. So you're going to have your Trenta now, right? You've switched.
Whoa.
But
I just got a surge of raw right? jealousy
secondhand caffeine high.
How much you are known.
And drinking. And how much fucking coffee.
You fucking careen. You careen into that drive-thru ready for a fucking Trenta.
I'm a Trenta girl now. And she, like, the
when
other.
You go Trenta.
I don't go back.
Huge. No, no one goes back.
I'm not Trenta. Leaving the Trenta realm. You're... And I'm in it. And I've been in it for about a week and a half. And I love. No, I've been in it for about 2 weeks.
You and my best friend, Christine, are both Trenta girls.
I think I'm in it for life. There's How do I go back from here?
You can't ever
downgrade. It's like doing harder and harder drugs.
That's why I have not gone Trenta. Because I was like, should I Trenta? And
yeah.
I was like, I can't ever step back from a Trenta. I'm not ready for that transition.
No, it's like when I was like, Coke is okay. I won't do anything else. And I was like, ketamine. And then it was like, GHB. And it was like, you just go farther and farther.
Trenta is the heroin of Starbucks.
And now that I'm in recovery, I'm like, well, I need something. So I have to just keep going and going there. It's like I get to have one
thing,
slightly unsafe, like, thing. And
yeah.
That's for me, that's Trenta.
You've switched now, right?
I've switched. Yeah. And then the other day, this one guy who was like this kind of has this very like monotone gay was like, he was like, do you want to just get 3 shots? I mean, you might as well. You've switched. Like, they all know. And I was like, yeah, I will. But like he persuaded me to get another shot.
Yeah. He's which, like, you like it raw.
Yeah. He was like, you like to get raw dog.
He's like, but do you want to just take the condom off?
Yeah.
You do like raw sex. And you're like, you know what?
You know what? I do.
But
I love that. He goes, you might as well.
Wow.
And I was like,
You're right.
But that was like, I don't think I can commit to 3.
I
can do like another. I do sometimes do it like today when I saw you, I'd already had a Trenta with 2 shots.
And then you had another Trenta.
With a shot. No, another venti.
Yeah, because I was going to say it looked like a venti.
No, I keep it like...
You do, you're only at one Trenta a day, yeah. But that's the beginning of your coffee
yeah.
journey.
And I then... start out with, I like, it's like a hot rail.
Wow.
Of like...
Blow to the dome.
Yeah, just like...
Followed up by just like bumps,
yeah.
Reinforcement bumps throughout the day.
It's a fat line in the beginning of the day and then just little...
You're literally the Wolf of Wall Street.
I am.
But with coffee. You love coffee.
You love coffee.
You love coffee, do ya?
You love coffee, don't ya? I'm swinging my little sock with pennies.
Kristen raps on the door. I hear there's a coffee lover.
Hey, there's a coffee lover. Hey, you want some Trenta? You want to go venti? No, you're a Trenta girl. I see. I'm a Trenta girl. I've always have been, always will be. Started drinking Trenta when I was 6 years old. Haven't stopped. And I'm like, all right, I'm in the zone with you. And she's like, come on, let's go.
She like Charlestons to the Starbucks.
Kristen doesn't
drive through. No. She Charlestons through a Starbucks drive through.
Anytime anyone ever switches to Trenta size, Kristen automatically appears and goes, hey there, switching to Trenta, I see. Welcome to the club.
She goes, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Charleston with her for like 10 minutes, and then you get your coffee.
You die from a heart attack, and then Crystal goes, another coffee lover down.
Another coffee lover down. Can't handle that Trenta, can you? No, you can't. Just what I suspected. She comes and like tests you.
She does test
you. And if you can't...
It's like a rumpled silk skin.
If you don't go into cardiac arrest, you pass.
You're passing with flying colors. You Trenta and then follow it up with a venti. That's wild, and I love it.
I mean,
you're living on the edge. Kristen both like in the distance. The Starbucks drive-through girl will hear like a tap shoes on the concrete.
And it's me and Kristen.
It's you and Kristen.
Hey.
Like an old movie musical.
No, it's like, I mean, I'm such a fucking addict. Like, I'm such a fucking former cokehead. Like, that I, like, it is.
That you do a Trenta and then a venti.
It's like, I. If, like, everyone, I'm sure everyone at the drive-thru is probably like, oh, this guy's definitely, like, in recovery. Because, like, this is just like.
You're like, that old drug addict's coming back from another venti.
Hey, hey, hey.
Back in my day, I used to do
Back in my day.
Now I just stick to Trenta.
It is. It's like I'm feeling very like old Hollywood studio, like just amphetamines.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a Dexedrine.
Take the red pill.
You're like Bob Fosse.
I am.
Fosse Verdon.
I'm fucking Gwen Verdon.
We all are Gwen.
We are.
She's a queen to
She's
me.
She's a Trenta girl.
She is a Trenta lady.
Who else is a Trenta girl in Hollywood?
Hollywood Trenta girls. Lindsay Lohan is a
Gaga
Trenta
is a
girl.
Trenta girl.
Oh, Gaga is nothing but Trenta. You need to start like a Trenta club.
Glenn Close?
She could be a Trenta girl.
Yeah. Trenta girls.
Trenta girls.
My friend messaged me. He's a social media friend. He messaged me and he said, I'm saying Trenta girl. I should credit him.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Grossi Pelosi on Instagram. And he, his Insta bio is a Trenta girl living in a venti world. And when I talked about switching to Trenta on like an Insta story, and mm-hmm. he messaged me and said, welcome to the club. And I felt like community.
It is a community. There is a community of Trenta.
Dan Pelosi was very pleased.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, wow, it's like a world.
It is a world. If Kristen was to watch your Insta story or listen to this podcast when she heard you switch to Trenta, she'd go, damn right. Damn right.
Damn right, Ed.
She gets
all points
Morse
bulletin.
Code.
She like records like points bulletin.
She sends you a telegram.
Switch. She's on the switchboard.
It's like,
hello?
Heard you love Trenta. Yeah. Stop. Good for you. Stop.
Hold, please. Hold, please. She's like, Trenta HQ, hold please. That's like her day. She's just constantly...
She's constantly connecting Trenta
oh
girls.
She would have been a great like phone operator.
Yeah.
Switchboard girl.
Just like connecting the Trenta lovers.
The marvelous Mrs. Maisel is a Trenta girl.
Oh, for 100%. She was born with a Trenta in her hand.
What's her name? Who does all the Amy...
Amy Sherman Palladino.
She's... She speaks Trenta.
Yeah. Instead of awards, she just has Trenta cups mm-hmm. next to all the awards.
Gilmore Girls. The Gilmore Girls. Miss myself. Gilmore Girls.
Bunheads.
Bunheads. Gilmore Girls. Bunheads. All great, by the way. I love all those shows.
Oh, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is a light in the darkness.
It's a fucking beacon of hope.
It truly gives me so, so much. It brings me nothing but joy.
But when I'm watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I feel like afterward, when I stop watching it, I should just walk up to the first person I see and go, hey, fuckface, get out of my way.
Yeah. The dialogue is coming from a place of Trenta.
Right?
Yeah, always.
I come from a place of Trenta.
I say this to you from a place of Trenta.
I say this to you with fully from a place of Trenta.
Fuck you.
Fuck you, fuckface. Hey, fuckface.
Hey, fuckface, how do you love Trentas?
How do you love Trentas?
So you want to be a Trenta girl, huh?
Huh? You see, you want to be a Trenta stylet. You want to be in my Trenta stable. Well, that's a tall order for a tall drink. They say, you know, they say tall glass of water. Well, I say tall glass of coffee. And by that, I mean a Trenta. Like it, love it, gotta have it.
Trenta.
Trenta.
Trenta for life. Once you go Trenta, you can't go back.
Once you go Trenta, you can't go back. And that's what I'm sticking to. I've been doing Trenta since I was 6 years old.
Judy Garland was a Trenta girl.
Oh, well.
I know. Renee, I think, went full method and ordered nothing but Trentas to play Judy Garland in the Judy Garland movie.
Does she have a show out on Netflix now where she's like deciding the fate of like several straight couples?
Yeah, it's called like What If? And I
don't get it.
I can't wrap my head around it, and I'm choosing to live in a world where What If doesn't exist. It's like the first thing I see when I open Netflix, and I'm like, I love Renee. I'm ready for the Renaissance, but like
The Zellwegasance.
I can't. Like, I just am like, I don't know about this. Yeah, I say to myself.
I don't know about this. I see on, like, Sunset Boulevard, like, this billboard of What If? And it's like, Renee, like...
It's like, what sliced between if?
Yeah, and, like, part of her face is shrouded in the shadows.
Yeah.
She's, like, staring off, like, while this young hot couple is, like, seductively staring at each other. And Renee's like, I pull the puppet strings.
You know? Yeah.
I think it's like, is that what it is?
I don't know. I'm like, what if I don't watch this?
Is it, like, about, like, Tinder?
I can't tell you. I watched the preview and I didn't know.
I'm watching, just a recommend. Can I do, like,
yeah,
a show?
Yeah, please.
I'm watching Chernobyl.
Oh,
on HBO.
Okay, I hear that's incredible.
It's incredible, but like, prepare yourself for the darkest show I've ever seen. Like, it is the grimmest show I've ever seen in my life.
I need to watch it.
It's so well done and like just perfectly is like a mood piece and just brings you into this realm of true doom,
mm-hmm.
which is, and like, I obviously, like, I wasn't born when Chernobyl happened because I'm very young. I was born in the late 80s.
Ooh, flex.
But
when did Chernobyl happen?
85 or 86.
Fuck, I was born.
Yeah, but...
I doth aged myself.
Oh, me.
Toss his hair back.
No, but like...
And like, rub some Vaseline on the lens.
Run some Vaseline. But
I'm an old broad.
But I...
Should we do a Chernobyl podcast?
Oh, my God. I'm down.
I need to watch it. You're the first person that I trust that recommended it. And then after I saw that you've storied about it. And
no, there's like a Chernobyl community on Twitter.
And
of like,
now there's like a bunch of Chernobyl gays have also recommended it to me.
I am a 100% a Chernobyl gay. And you are too.
I am at heart.
You're definitely a Chernobyl gay. But yeah.
And both Trenta and Chernobyl, we are all.
But like, knowing you, it is such a show for you. Mm-hmm. And it's because like, obviously, like, I knew how devastating of a moment it was in history, but I didn't know that the extent of like the body horror that went on with it and like what
I
it
really
did.
I don't know anything about
it. So it was just like a reactor.
Chernobyl.
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 Well, it's kind of cool because it's British production.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone has British accents.
Oh,
which
I love
I'm like, and I read, at first I was kind of jarred by it, but then I read a review, interview with the creators who were like, we're not going to do Russian accents because that sounds like Boris and
mm-hmm.
from, you know, Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
But it's just so well done. But yeah, it's like this reactor in Ukraine was so close to having a thermal explosion that would have, I think they say in the show, like there's a point where it's like they have to get somewhere in, so basically it's like if you go near the core of this melted down core of this reactor,
mm-hmm.
it will kill you in days. And people, the Soviet Union was trying to cover it up because they obviously didn't want the world to know that they had like this ill-fitting facility. Like,
yeah.
And like it was during the Cold War and like tensions were so high even in the 80s. And so they were, in true like totalitarian regime, like keeping everything's fine, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they were literally sending people to their deaths to go confirm that everything was fine at the core. And like, there's this haunting shot. I mean, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but there's this, I mean, you know what happens.
I'm like, Wikipedia. No spoilers, please.
Yeah, no spoilers, please.
I'm going to go into Chernobyl raw.
But like, you see this image of this guy go, it's like, if he's saying like, if I go stand in that spot, I will die. And the people are like, no, you have to go to prove to the state, you know, to the,
this hits praise all be to the state. Elements of your interest,
right,
are the state,
the being state
number one,
praising the state,
praising the state.
So like, to go,
Olivia Jade coming to you live from Chernobyl.
Olivia,
it's
Jade
amazing here.
Hey, it's Olivia Jade for State TV. I'm here at Chernobyl. It's like just being like proving your complete subservience to the power in charge, like the regime.
Mm-hmm.
So they send like this guy who's so smart, and they're yelling at him, and they're like, no, you're lying, the core is fine, it's, you know, the radiation is not coming out of it. And he's like, if you send me there, I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
And they're like, go. And then he's like, fine, I'll go. And then you just see the shot of him turning around looking at the camera, and his face, all because what radiation at that exposure, your face turns bright red because all the blood vessels in your body are just exploding at once.
I almost lost bowel control with that, because yeah, it's like truly terrifying.
And he just turns to the camera and like, is, you just know this guy is gonna die in like days, because it's, and yeah, anyway, it's just, and the music is like this pulsating like Trent Reznor kind of shit, and it's just like,
wow,
so dark. And Stellan Skarsgård's in it, who I think is so hot.
God, show me a Skarsgård that isn't smoking hot,
right?
I beg of you. You can't do it. They're all hot.
Also, I only learned recently that was the father.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that he, like, I thought they just had the same last name.
Nope.
Anyway, but he's in it. He's amazing. That guy from Mad Men who hanged himself is in it.
You've sold me on Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's just everyone out there. It's, I think there's only like 6 episodes.
Chic.
But
you know what else has 6 episodes? High Society.
High Society.
The reason for
our gathering.
The season.
So basically, we both love Tinsley. We're obsessed with Real Housewives of New York, mm-hmm, which, like,
God help us all.
A class should be taught on that show.
Yeah, it deserves Emmys.
It actually does.
It actually does. And it's actually, I think, misogynistic and patriarchal, that like
an anti-gay
that all the bad things that those shows don't get nominated, because all that gets nominated is like Amazing Race. Like, fuck you, no one cares about that show. Survivor, please.
Yeah,
it's not 2000, it's not 1998 or whenever that fucking show came out.
Yeah, Bravo definitely gets shafted, but like, even Vanderpump Rules should get nominated,
honestly. Like, and I was talking about this last night, but these shows like High Society and all the Housewives are such good time capsules of our culture. And
they are.
Even like Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, for as horrible as it was a great like mirror being held up to society
and, like,
of itself.
Influencer culture. And
yeah.
Like,
and like, truly, nothing has mirrored the Trumpian regime as well as like Lindsay Lohan's Beach House, where there are no rules, nothing makes sense,
confusion reigns,
running by a liar who just changes their mind all the time, unstable,
terror,
like on the loose, all the brand ambassadors,
human
are
trafficking.
Like, yeah, it's everything.
It really was. People getting fired like at a drop of a hat.
Yeah, for God knows what.
It kind of was.
It really was. And like, High Society was one of those shows that came out to not much attention on the CW, mm-hmm, in like 2008 or 9.
I think it was 2009 or 10. It was the height of the recession.
And no one really engaged with it except for me. I was immediately sucked in.
Except for me.
Yeah. And I was like, this is one of the darkest things. And honestly, such laid perfect groundwork for a show like Vanderpump Rules. Like, it's very Vanderpump.
It was definitely, I mean, I've watched it now, like, I mean, it's good. I needed a refresher. So
yeah.
But like, from what I've seen, like, it is ahead of its time.
Totally.
And I think it was trying to be, it was like weird escapism. Like, Gossip Girl was sort of like, came out at the perfect time, because it was like, everyone, no one had money, and like, everyone was like, just wanted nice things.
Yeah.
So Gossip Girl was like a great escape.
And this was trying to piggyback on Gossip Girl and be like, this is the real Gossip Girl, but also featuring like 20 and 30 somethings, like TBDs.
Like 40 year olds.
Yeah. And like, but also not shying away from showing like how awful all these people are.
High society, like, it's grim. Like,
it's very grim.
They are, for some reason, I mean, even on like Housewives and Vanderpump, like, when you think, wow, this person is awful, or like, this is a crazy thing that the editors just let like stand.
Mm-hmm.
These editors are like merciless.
Vicious.
Lohan Beach Club, like the editors weren't even this like vicious.
No.
These are, and I applaud them for their like
venom. It's a docuseries.
But it's more real than any.
Yeah. And that's why
and shapeless and like strange. And
it's just like capturing a moment in time and then it never happens again.
And it captures New York at a really specific moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of the height of Gawker and, like, you know, like, the internet blogging.
This is the dawn also of, like, happened around, like, the dawn of Twitter as well. Because I remember doing White Girl Problems around the same time as High Society and being like, all these people are, like, true babes. Like,
They really are.
And, like...
But it was like the golden era of Gawker, like on the internet, like where Gawker was like the
and
only.
And they were calling people out on the street.
Yeah, like, they were just calling
Gawker
like
stalker,
random socialites out, and like they. That was like, I mean, I used to read Gawker in college, just like squeal because like it was just, you know, you had like Richard Lawson and like all Emily Gould and like all these like, you know, Brian Moylan, like all these, and they would just call Richard's like my friend now, and like he's his reality TV recaps are just like
we're one of the greatest literary moments like
same
ever.
They should be deemed like culturally relevant.
I would love for them to all be put into a book.
I do too.
Why isn't that done?
Here's an idea, Richard.
Here's an idea, literary publisher world.
But like it was so relevant to me as a writer, and I was lucky enough to like get to know Richard actually in person, and like now he's like a friend, like a real friend of mine, and like I've known him for a while now. And but I remember like one night I was talking to him and we were hanging out, and I was like, "Do you know I emailed you in college, like I wrote to your Gawker to like try to like riff with you about that?" Like I was that like
I think I did too, like messaged him at some point, or at least like I reached out in some capacity because I was so moved by the Gossip Girl recaps that like
their art,
yeah. It was great writing.
But what I'm trying to say, like all this period, especially of like New York in this time, like it was so specific, and high society like is in that moment so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in like Page Six, and like just when the blogs were the new press kind of thing, you know? And like it was, I think it was ahead of its time because no one really got social media yet. No one got like the internet.
There was no Instagram, really.
Internet tabloid, like, didn't really... Yeah, like, none of that shit existed. And this was... If this show had come out, like, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, it would have been... Or even, like, when Vanderpump came out.
Yeah.
It would have been, like, a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. Also, like, CW is a weird place to put a reality show on. I'm like, that's your first mistake, but...
Yeah, that was a totally...
Bizarre. Yeah. Because I remember...
Should have been, like, MTV or something.
What was... Housewives... Had they really popped off at this point, or was there really only OC?
No, New York.
There had been New York.
New York was like 2007. This was the era of like Kelly Benciman, like 2010.
Okay, yeah.
Like Sonia Morgan just came on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
it was still...
OC Housewives started in 2005.
Yeah, it's an oldie.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane. But I remember seeing like... It was still kind of... Bravo had not become a true juggernaut that it is today.
Nah. No, it was... Housewives was still, like, very niche.
Yeah. And, like, did you know who Tinsley was before the show?
No. Our friend Sam Lansky, who's been on the pod.
Yeah.
I think he tipped me off to the show when we were still living in New York. He was like, you have to watch this. And then I watched it. With you once.
I think I found, because it was not, because like.
You found it on YouTube.
I found it on YouTube, and that's where all of you guys can watch it. It got uploaded like last year, miraculously, the whole season. Get on it now. I like was having like a stress dream last night that it was like deleted before we could pod about it. And it was like stressing me out. But like, I remember I followed Tinsley. I had known about because I like followed a bunch of like the girls that were written about in Vogue that were like all the socialites. So it's like Tinsley, Lauren Santo Domingo, and like a bunch, and like Arden Wall, and like all these kind
Arden
of
Wall.
Yeah, it was like back in like early aughts, there were like this group of socialite girls, and I just thought they were
and
really
Tinsley was in it.
Tinsley was in it. She was always like in Vogue and stuff, and
she was like
about.
The Serena Vanderwoods
in. Yeah, and had like gorgeous blonde hair, and then there was like. I think like Plum Sykes wrote books that were like the debutante divorcee that was like about those types of girls. And so I was just always interested in them. And then this reality show happened and I was like, Tinsley! Yeah. And like really got on it.
Tinsley!
Then I was like horrified and amazed that this show even existed. Then once this show came out, it never came back and was scrubbed from everywhere, which once you watch you'll realize why. And then I think with Tinsley's resurgence of fame on Housewives of New York, some gay I'm sure uploaded the whole thing to the internet.
Some glorious
thank
man
god
yeah
for
I,
him
I mean,
Guy Douglas, whoever you are with your YouTube channel, I salute you.
No, I think I knew about Tinsley from Gawker stuff and like just page, but and then when Sam told me about her, I watched it and I was like, so like
she's the one.
But I before she was on the Real Housewives of New York, I was working at Paper Magazine when I was in New York, and there was a article about her arrest where she was trespassing in Palm Beach at her ex-boyfriend's house, and like I was so excited about it, not that she got arrested, but it felt so like in that heyday of
bad behavior,
just like socialites being like talked about. And so I wrote this thing about it, and she complained to this is, and I like regret this, but like, she sent an email to my editor being like, I thought I had a friend in paper and I feel really bad. And then she was on the Real Housewives, and then she explained that like she was, her ex-boyfriend was like a psycho, and she was like,
yeah, it seemed like a really dark
relationship. Yeah, so I felt that's so that's my relationship to Tinsley.
I love that.
I feel bad that I wrote that, but well, it was really funny.
It's funny. It's funny, and also, like,
her mugshot was iconic.
Her mugshot was iconic, and, like, she's the one that got arrested. So, yeah, really, you should be mad at yourself for your own behavior,
that's
not
true.
Mad that people commented
that's
on
true.
It.
That's true.
So, think about that, Tinsley.
Think about that. But, yeah, this show has... So, this is capturing Tinsley, which... A plotline that is still discussed almost 10 years later on...
Constantly referenced.
So, Tinsley was married to...
Topper Mortimer.
Tinsley's real name is Tinsley Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
Her family is like Virginia old money, so they say.
Like Southern old money.
Carpet people. Like they have like a carpet company, I think. So
literally, we were talking earlier, and it's like to have old money, you need to invent like a doorknob.
Yeah.
Back in like the 1900s.
Yeah.
And then like your family
a
is
railing.
A millionaire.
Yeah. So they're like from that kind of fucking money where it's just like,
forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Tinsley was married to Topper.
The kind of money that where you can name your child something like Tinsley and Dabney.
Dabney.
Which are not names.
We'll get to Dabney in a second. Mm-hmm. So Tinsley was married to her high school sweetheart. They went to the Pingree School in New Jersey, which.
Is that a chic boarding school?
Yeah. That's like.
That's like North, you send the kids to boarding school.
It's like it's right outside New York City. It's in North Jersey. It's like very, very chic. I think some other famous people have gone there, but
you sneak out of boarding school. You go into the city on the weekends.
Hey, we're leaving Pingree tonight. You know, like where do you go? Pingree. It's like where do you go?
Pingree. Chote. Is that how you spell it? Say
Chote.
It. Chote.
Rosemary Hall.
Whoa, I thought it was like Chote.
Chote. Phillips. Which one? Andover.
Wow.
Exeter.
I don't know any of these. What's the one that Gwyneth went to? She went to a chic New York school.
Like, oh, did she go to Dwight?
Chapin. Did she go to Dwight? I know about Chapin.
Went to Dwight.
Okay.
Chapin?
That's like a day school.
Yeah. I briefly... There was a... Okay, this is full disclosure. I'm being really vulnerable right now. My parents considered having me do a gap year.
Mm-hmm.
were because they thought I was not mature to go to enough to go to college, mm-hmm. which like probably true, but also like just they.
That's yeah. everyone.
So they wanted to me to consider going to Phillips Andover, taking graduating from high school, going to Phillips Andover for a year as like an extra senior,
uh-huh.
getting into a good school from there.
We had some of those like super seniors at yeah. my like weird emotional growth boarding school that would right. just stay for 6 months after. I was like, why the fuck are you still here? Like, get out.
And like I ended
but Bradley
up,
wanted to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up going to like a good school, but like they thought like I just needed like another year to like marinate kind of, mm-hmm. which like, you know, very nice. And like, I'm obviously like, I sound like a fucking like privileged piece of shit, but like I'm lucky that I even had that option.
Yeah. So but Andover is like, would it be a boarding school?
Yeah, you live okay. there. It's like, so I went to school. I went to go look at it like during the college visit moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with my dad and it was like this picturesque campus. It was like, looked like it was like a movie. It yeah. was like just perfect. It was like this little, it was like the Village.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just perfect. And I think I got a tour from these really nice kids and they were like, trying to be they were really peppy and they were like, and I just was not having it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty nightmarish.
I was like being such a brat and they were like, over here, like we do game nights, you know, and I was like, ugh, you know, because I was mm-hmm. like drinking then and I was like, I just want to party.
Well, also it's like, it's not like you're trying to go there for actual like a no. 4 year of high school. Yeah. You're going there is like, I'm going to just spend a year here.
And I was a swimmer. So then we talked to the swim coach because mm-hmm. I was decent. So he was like really interested in me joining the team and like, and he was like... Does this make me sound like it's such a
no
snob?
I'm like relating because I was truly I'm like, welcome to white people and boarding school yeah. hour this podcast, but like
no, you had a crazy experience,
but like that I was one of the oldest people to graduate from my school. Was 19 and a half when I graduated high school. I was like, I've been here too long.
That's
and I get it, like you're just like, get me out of here. And
yeah,
like,
and like I should have been like, I should have been more appreciative and been like, I don't know if this is for me, but I'm like lucky that my parents are like,
yeah, but you're
this.
A teenager. Your brain isn't
asshole.
Even like,
and so the swim coach was like, so Carrie, tell me why would you want to come to Phillips? And I went, I don't know. My dad wants me to be here.
How high society of you.
I know. And my dad looked at me like, you motherfucker.
I'm going to kill you.
So that didn't happen.
I
so
love that.
I don't know why I went into that story.
That's a high society spinoff.
Right?
Yeah. That's like a very NYC prep. Because yeah. you're not that kind of person. So to look at you in that light is a fun.
It's like a secret.
This is a facet.
But yeah, I mean, my parents, God bless them. I was just an idiot in high school.
Who
I
wasn't?
Had my head up my ass. I like, yeah, I was just bad at school. I was good in English, but
love,
anyway,
same.
So anyway, they went to the Pingree School. Sorry about that diatribe, everyone.
No, the Pingree School, and then they met and they got married when Tinsley was 18 years old.
They eloped, I think, in high school, and then they had like a full on wedding.
In high school, they eloped?
I think they were still Chic. In high school and they eloped.
So Topper was like her first true love.
Yeah. And they had like a full on, like, their wedding was like Jackie Kennedy's wedding.
Like a crazy expensive socialite wedding because she married into like
a Standard Oil family.
Which that is like, oil families are truly the end all be all of like socialite who you decide to marry.
Oil families, railroad families, mm-hmm. and like shipping.
Yeah. Greek shipping air is like,
yeah.
I couldn't ask for anything more than that. I'm like, my wish list is not that long. Greek shipping air.
Just a
Greek big old fat nose.
Yeah.
Shaggy hair. $1 billion in the bank.
Just a bill.
Simple.
Just one bill.
Yeah.
So they were married and then they had this like fab life. They lived in the Upper East Side in this crazy apartment.
Which it shows like pictures of that looks like an old grandma's apartment.
We both went, ew.
Yeah,
we she
were,
was like,
gross.
And Tinsley, when she's being introduced, she's like, we lived in the most incredible apartment on the Upper East Side. And they flash to it and I'm like, this is jacked
like,
up.
Gross. Yeah. This is like a bad antique
smells
store.
Like, yeah, because I knew what it smelled like.
It's like...
Smelled like...
It's just like a grandma's. Like, if your grandma lived there, you'd be like, I love grandma's house. Yeah. But if you...
a young, thriving couple.
Like, your friend who invites you over for, like, wine and housewives one night, and then you go to their apartment, and it's literally, like, a senior citizen lives here. You're like, what's wrong with you? And
yeah, we both were like, this is really not hard cute. Pass.
Like, if you offered us that apartment, we'd be like, I'll stay right here.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, it was not the one.
So
Tinsley and Topper are getting divorced. It starts off with her being like, I'm going to take you into a world where everything is not as perfect as it seems. She's like wearing a black beret. Well, you know it's serious.
Well, first, there's a shot of her weeping hysterically on her bed. And she goes, and it's one of those moments where it's like, you're probably wondering, how did a girl like me get into a place like this? And it goes, and it rewinds to her being like, so this is me. I'm Tinsley Mortimer. And she's like on the red carpet.
She goes, if you Googled me, this is what you'd see. I'm probably on a red carpet somewhere.
She's on the red carpet for Obsessed.
Yeah.
With Ali Larter and Beyonce.
TBT to the greatest movie.
Of all time.
And then she's like, you wouldn't expect me to be like this sad.
Yeah. How could a girl like me be sad?
Yeah. It's like, I'm pretty lucky. But yeah. Now things are different.
I'm rich and I'm white.
Yeah. You know, it's like,
how could this happen?
Long hair.
And I have long blonde hair and I wear dresses.
Mm-hmm.
So how could a girl like me be sad? And then it's like you said, like she's in a turtleneck.
She's in an all black turtleneck with like a little jacket and a black beret, like walking thoughtfully in a park with like a dog on a leash. And you're like, fuck, things have taken a turn for Tins. That's when you know it's bad.
I'm like, no, you're in a scene from The Baby Boom with Diane Keaton.
She literally is dressed like Diane Keaton on Instagram.
She is.
Yeah. Taking like a mournful stroll.
Right. So
then she's like, she's moving into a new apartment with a new life.
And in Midtown.
In Midtown.
Which is, if you've lived in New York...
Midtown is truly a dead zone.
Like, Midtown East is...
You don't want it.
No, it's the weirdest place in the world.
It's bizarre. I was in New York recently and found myself walking in Midtown, and I was just like, where is anything? I was like, where is anything? Like, I was looking for some sort of place to, like, call home or, like, even just a fun store to go into.
Yoo-hoo.
Yeah, and I was, like, walking the streets just, like, looking around and, like, looking on Google Maps, and I was like, there's nothing. It's literally the Sahara Desert.
I can't tell you how many times, like, I've been to a Duane Reade in Midtown buying, like, a 4-foot-long phone charger and, like, crying. Because
yeah.
My life was in shambles, and I'm like, and I'm in Midtown in Duane Reade, you know? It was like...
You enter Midtown, and it will be hours before you leave.
So that's where Tinsley is moving. She's moving... She's like, I'm making a big change from the Upper East Side to Midtown, which is like...
She's like, that's your first mistake. Yeah. And she's like, this is my best friend, Alex. She's a lawyer.
Alex married, Abisau.
Yeah. Married to a successful Wall Street guy.
And Wall Street guy.
Oh, just a Wall Street guy.
Yeah.
And like, why is a lawyer on a reality show? She's like 20, so she's not a lawyer.
I know. She's probably like a paralegal.
Like, did she pass the bar?
She passed the bar. She was like... She went through one of those, like, Kim Kardashian courses.
Like, the thought that you could, like, hire this girl who later gets, like, a drink thrown in her face and, like, flips in her eye to represent you legally.
I want Alex Abisau to be my attorney.
Yeah, you need to hire her. I wonder what kind of law she brought. We'll have to do a wellness check on her eventually.
But also, like... That in the same breath, Tinsley has to mention that she's married to a Wall Street guy.
Successful Wall Street guy.
She's a lawyer. Like, I don't need to know. Like, and she,
that's what makes me think she's not a lawyer.
But I just love how she says it's not a Wall Street broker. It's not like a...
Just a guy.
Just a guy.
A guy who maybe lives on Wall Street. Yeah. What do you do? I'm a successful Wall Street guy.
I live on the Wall Street.
I live right on Wall Street.
Yeah. So she...
Tinsley and Alex are getting Tinsley ready so that she can go to...
Well, she's doing it. She has a big debut. So she's been out
of the public eye.
She's like,
she's taking a break. The press is too much.
It was... The divorce was a big... It rocked the New York society.
Yeah.
Like, the Mortimer-Mercer divorce. It's like a huge scandal. It's been on like... She always says like the press, Page Six. Like, it's all over the place. And... So she's been out of commission for a while, which probably was like a week to a month, maybe. Yeah. Hiding out.
Because hiding she's out. Like,
I can't let them see me.
Meeting with real estate brokers to like find a new apartment.
Yeah. So she's getting ready to reemerge into society. So and Alex is like, I really just want Tinsley to like remember who she is. Mm-hmm. You know, she's that girl. And like, I want her to like, which is like nice.
Yeah.
She's being a good friend.
Yeah, she's like helping her pick out a dress. That's nice of her.
It's a Marquesa dress.
So the big Tinsley's big social debut is that she's going to a Marquesa party to hobnob with Georgina Chapman and Harvey Weinstein.
Harvey Weinstein makes an appearance
in the first episode of High Society.
Like within the first 4 minutes, you see Harvey Weinstein.
And you see Tinsley approaching Harvey, kissing him on the cheek, and being like, just being like, I don't know, it's crazy. And like them like laughing together.
And on screen, it says Harvey Weinstein producer. And she's like, Georgina Chapman is like, she's been dressing me for years. And she's married to Harvey Weinstein, who's literally like the biggest producer in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's like amazing.
And so if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know about this TV show, 1,000 more things will, because it's the tip of a blood iceberg.
We had to watch the Harvey Weinstein moment like 8 times.
We screamed. I had forgotten that was like part of it. But then when she was like Marquesa, because Tinsley was like one of the first Marquesa girls.
Yeah. And the dress she's wearing is like so Tinsley.
Yeah. It's a classic Tins like, look. Her style has not changed at all. She's still the same Tinsley.
No, it's like Shirley Temple, like...
Yeah. I'm a baby.
Coke with Coke.
Yeah.
That's her outfit. Mm-hmm. I'm a widow baby.
I'm a widow baby.
She should just wear a diaper.
She doesn't like pants.
She should wear a full-on diaper.
A diapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she goes to this event. She's like... being photographed for the first time since the divorce.
And then it pans over to some random gay that you like definitely recognize, but you don't know where. It was like one of those E! Correspondent guys.
Robert Verdi,
stylist.
Yeah.
And he goes...
And he's like... And you hear him like soundbite.
He goes...
There she is.
There she is. It's Tinsley.
Yeah.
She's flying solo.
She's flying solo. And it's like... The name of the episode's called Flying Solo. So it's like... They were just like, say that she's flying solo. And
yeah.
He was like, okay.
A producer was like, we are going to mic you up and you're going to have to say this.
And Robert Verdi was like, cool, give me $40.
Yeah, he like, can't. Here. He's like more excited than ever. And then he corners Tinsley and they like sit on a couch together. And she's like.
Well, first he's like dragging her.
He's dragging her.
He's like, wow, can't believe she showed up.
Then he's like, hey, girl, how are you? You look amazing. Yeah. And then he's like, I need one of your handbags for my clients. And she's like, who are your clients? And he's like, Eva Longoria, Kristen Wiig. And it's
Kathy Griffin.
You've never met these people.
Yeah.
Maybe you've met Kathy.
But like, what a roster.
Yeah. Congrats.
Eva Longoria and Kristen Wiig. And like...
Kristen Wiig's like, who?
Yeah, Kristen Wiig's like, I have never met this man.
She like has an active restraining order against Robert Verdi, along with the rest of the world, because he was never seen or heard from again.
He's been like trying to be...
I feel like he's like an HGTV or like...
Yeah.
He always shows up on like Oxygen to like comment on like a competition type of fashion-y show.
Has he been on Project Runway?
I'm sure he like... was a panel judge at one point.
I feel like he just always is one of those people that, like, I always see him and I'm like, oh, that guy. And, like, I've seen him at, like, stuff in New York. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just...
He's around.
Yeah.
He's around and recognizable, yet completely...
And definitely not silent Kristen Wiig.
No.
Kristen Wiig definitely doesn't know who Robert Verdi is.
She's, like, wakes up in the middle of the night, like, haunted by a ghost she can't put her finger on. And it's Robert Verdi name-dropping her all over town.
Oh, my God.
Then we meet Tinsley's sister.
Dabney.
And Tinsley goes, Dabney is family. Like, literally, she is.
Yeah, we were both like, okay, yeah, she is.
She's your sister.
The way she said it was like, she's like my sister.
She's like family to me.
It's like,
yeah, you're related.
Yeah, you came out of the same womb.
She's your older sister.
Yeah.
Or is it younger?
I think she's older.
Okay.
So Dabney Mercer is also like, kind of looks exactly like Tinsley.
But like... Tinsley definitely is like the hot sister.
Yeah, Tinsley's the Marsha to her Jan.
And that's what makes me love Tinsley even more. Cause I like, you know, Tinsley knows that and she's excited about it.
Dabney's like, you know, Dabney's like family.
Dabney, dad needs family.
It's like if I saw like my nephew who's like 7 months, I'd be like, Teddy's like family.
Teddy's family. It's like, yeah he's fucking now. His last name is Mercer, like yours. And it's your sister.
So she... Nothing really is explained that much about Dabney.
Nothing really needs to be, because Dabney is just like that random girl that's like always hanging out in your friend group, and you don't know who brought her in, but she's just gonna be there always.
But you don't forget her name.
You never forget her name because it's really memorable, but it's the most memorable thing about her. And Dabney. Then she's just like a yes girl for the friend group forever. Yeah.
She's an enabler.
You have to include her. Because she's, like, non-threatening Dabney, yeah. And she has pretty hair, but she's, like, not going to steal your boyfriend.
In Southern rich aristocracy, Dabney means non-threatening.
Mm-hmm. A total Dabney.
Yeah.
She's passive. A dab.
Dabster.
She's a dabby.
So she's at this party, too, right?
She's, like, around.
So we cut to her and her life. Her life is currently... on hold.
Her life is on hold because she's babysitting a literal like monster,
like Eloise on mescaline.
Mm-hmm.
Like she is living with Jules Kirby, who's another castmate.
Jules Kirby, there's never been, and there probably never will be, a person who is so vile on television that you truly your jaw drops to the floor anytime they're on screen.
Like
I described her. To someone at a party over the weekend as iconically racist.
She literally says, well, our first introduction to her is her.
She's on the phone, and the first words that live, come out of her mouth.
Her and Dabney live in a penthouse at the Empire Hotel, which is like
a
TBD.
Real TB. It's like brown and it's purple color scheme. Yeah. That's all you need to know. Yeah. And the first words that come out of Jules's mouth are, I want to speak to the manager. And she's on the phone.
It's 2 a.m.
It's 2:12 or 2:16 a.m. Oh, and Jules is demanding to speak to a manager. Yeah. And if that doesn't like inform her truest essence, yeah. Then you're lost.
But Dabney's like also like...
Jules is the original speak to the manager white lady.
But like they're drinking Red Bull vodka and it's like 2 a.m. And I'm like... And Dabney's fully dressed and like wearing like... a sweater and like
she's wearing like a cardigan,
like trousers.
Yeah, Dabney like, seems like oddly together.
Yeah,
and Jules is like demanding to speak to a manager, berating like hotel staff on the phone.
It's two in the morning.
She throws the phone against the wall. It crashes. They throw stuff a lot on this show.
She throws her cell phone.
She throws a phone across the room, and then she's like, "I'm Jules Kirby." She's like, I have houses in France, St. Barts, Thailand, London.
And a lot of places in New York.
And yet I'm living at this hotel.
Yet I'm crashing with my... I'm probably like freeloading off my rich friend.
Mm-hmm.
But she has houses in Thailand.
And Jules Kirby comes from the Dreyfus family, which is another like billionaire family.
She claims to.
Nothing's been super proven, but I will say... After the show came out, when I was doing the Babe Walker blog for a while, I wrote about Jules, and eventually, and this happened to many people that wrote about her during this time, one of her lawyers emailed me and was like, you need to delete this like paragraph that you wrote about Jules from your website or we're going to like press charges. I'm like, good fucking luck. I have an iPad mini. Like, what do you want? But like, sure, I'll fucking delete this post where I call Jules a racist, which if you watch the show, she's fully actively, iconically racist.
Yeah.
And then all these other... So I think that she was... Her rich family sent a lawyer... to like bully bloggers into like erasing any sort of bad thing about Jules. And I think that that's part of the reason the show was scrubbed was from her rich family.
Well, I did look up, her dad is a really famous attorney mm-hmm. in New York. I think it was HuffPo or like some, they reached out to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh yeah. She's part of that family.
Well, yeah, she's like the heir apparent. Like she has, Julia Louis-Dreyfus has like $4 billion.
I love that about her.
And also like an extra $200 million from Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
But she, they denied that she was part of their family.
Yeah, so as like, one would because, I mean, look at this show.
So Jules begins her like intro in the pilot saying, literally the first thing she says is, I don't like homosexual. I don't associate with homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Homosexuals.
Homosexuals.
This is 2010.
She's, my friends tend to not be homosexuals, Jews, or black people.
She goes, I only like white people. I only like white guys. And then they cut to her in the club with Dabney, and she says, that black girl over there needs to get away.
Pointing at a girl whose face is like blurred out. Yeah. And
a
like
black woman who's
a black standing. Woman who's like standing far away and yeah. like dancing with a drink in her hand, and Jules is not having it.
And then Dabney like kind of goes like, Jules.
Dabney is like the complicit, like racist friend that kind of like laughs low key at Jules's antics,
yeah.
but like never is like, you need to like chill the fuck out and you're being like so inappropriate right now.
No, Dabney tries to front as like, she's the rational one. Like, cause then you see her after Jules like berates the Empire Hotel concierge, she calls them on the phone, like the landline mm-hmm. of the penthouse, and like holds the phone up to Jules and is like, I have them on, apologize to them, just please, it'll make it easier. And Dabney goes, I'm so sorry, she's just been angry today.
Dabney, the friend that will always like yeah. make an excuse for you.
And I'm like, what did she have that day that was so hard?
That would require her calling down and screaming at someone at 2 a.m.
But I love her, like, her codependent enabling. She had a
really
hard day.
She's been really angry today.
She's been really angry today. Like,
then Jules,
she's an adult human.
Yeah. She fully, like, has autonomy over her own actions.
Yeah.
And is, like, a horrific human being.
And so then Dabney hands the phone to her to apologize to the concierge to save face.
And then Jules doubles down and just starts like screaming. And she's like, there's a recession going on and like people should really be getting jobs right now and not idiots like you, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then throws the phone again. So Jules is like firmly unapologetic for anything. And also, we forgot to say in her like talking head moment, she goes, I use the N-word sometimes and I think it should be okay to say. And then it
she
cuts
literally
her.
Says, I use the N-word and I think it should be okay.
She's just like, And then she goes, I want to work for the United Nations.
My dream is to work for the United Nations. After saying she hates every group that's targeted around the world.
She hates minorities.
She hates minorities. She hates.
She talks down She's to a white service people. She's like a full-blown
Aryan
Richard
nation.
Spencer.
Yeah. Like
she.
She is literally like, what are those people? Like, she's
she
an Aryan woman, like Aryan nation woman.
Like a white supremacist yeah. who just wants to, like, would love to work for the UN.
She wants to casually work for the UN.
Like, do you know who's in the UN and what it represents? What does she think it is?
The producers, like, they probably had a field day.
Yeah, I mean, this is like a producer's wet dream.
Yeah.
Someone like Jules Kirby, who's clearly like psychotic.
Wretched.
Yeah.
She's mentally ill. But I honestly, I'm not even going to give her that excuse because that denotes that like she has like, she can't control it. Mm-hmm. She's just a fucking dick.
Yeah.
She's a wretched
asshole. Bitch. Yeah.
And her hair is the same color as her face.
She's always like ruddy and windblown. Like yeah. she's been standing at the top of like a ski like cliff and gotten like a gust of ice cold air to the face.
And, like. Also on top of doing a lot of coke.
Yeah. She's always like, she's been trapped in a wind tunnel her entire life.
She has that Lilo like 2008 ruddiness
mm-hmm.
that was like kind of chic.
She loves like a ruddy with like a
windburn.
Like, a windburn. Windburn Jules.
Jules Kirby, her hair is overly blown. Like she's blown it out like way too much.
It's bleached out. It's like it's kind of too thin to begin with. And uh-huh. then you like bleach and damage on top of that. And then it just becomes like a limp mane.
And her skin is the same color as her hair.
Yeah. It's just like,
she's shockingly horrible.
Yeah.
She says all these things in the first minute of her being introduced.
Yeah. So like this is like your intro. This is like who she is. And then it just snowballs from there.
The fact that the CW even allowed her a white woman to say I think the N-word should be okay to say on a fairly popular channel
yeah
is wild.
I don't think that would happen. I don't think she could. The fact that they even cast her on a show where they're like, we really need a racist, yeah, got any names for me, and they're like, how about Jules Kirby,
and she's also like, a homophobe and an anti-Semitic, and they're great,
perfect, hits all quadrants, and then like hired her and like encouraged this kind
pay
of behavior.
Pay for her to live in a nice penthouse.
Yeah.
Also, side note, anyone who's watched The Real Housewives of New York, they know that Tinsley loves living in a hotel. Like, what is it with the Mercer girls?
Yeah.
They love living in hotels.
They love a hotel.
They love being Eloise.
Mm-hmm.
Tinsley's like, I want to be Eloise.
It's a girl thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Do you hear that? Right now, we are...
We took a little break. We're back. There's days later. There's been a lot of changes.
You've had a lot of changes in your life.
Yeah, my life has took a 180-degree turn.
Can you elaborate?
I'm a dog mom now. to a beautiful young son named Tony.
A pug.
A pug.
Who literally is the cutest thing I've ever seen. He's currently in my armpit. He's snoring.
Nuzzled up next to Uncle Carrie, and he's passed out.
I'm trying to get the mic to pick up his
breaths.
Wheezing. Can you hear at home?
I'm sure they can.
Anyway, I'm really happy for you because
he's an angel.
A cinnamon bun.
He is a cinnamon bun. He's a croissant.
Literally a toastal strudel.
Mm-hmm. And he loves you.
I love him. Instant love.
Instant love.
And I love the way he walks.
He's a waddler. He's so smart. He's been a really good boy.
He's really intuitive.
Yeah. He's a special spirit.
He is. He's a two-spirit.
Like, I was worried that he was going to be, like, just wild.
Right.
Even though I had held him, like, when I first met him, I held him for a long time, and he was really chill.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. Like, I, no. What if he gets home and he's, like, a fucking Tasmanian devil running around, like, tearing around the
but
house,
no.
peeing everywhere. But no, he's just, like...
He was meant for you.
We're attuned to each other.
You are.
I'm his mom. He's my son.
Yeah.
We go back like, many lifetimes.
He's also like suckling. Oh, he rises. Hello. Okay.
Back to sleep.
Back to sleep.
Oh.
Oh my God. One of his eyes is closed right now and the other one is like barely open.
He loves a one eye open.
Yeah, snooze. You said he sleeps with one eye open.
He often sleeps with one eye open just to make sure what's happening.
I think and during these times,
it's best.
We should all sleep with one eye open.
It's best to
because
do that.
After everything that's happening right now, I think every American should be sleeping with one eye open.
Tony is a trendsetter.
Tony is leading the charge.
Yeah.
So we were talking about the introduction of truly iconic... Paul Johnson Calderon.
PJC.
PJC, as he's called in the show.
He was actually introduced a little bit before Jules.
Right.
Where we got to know his journey.
But we just, like, we kind of got into Jules and, like,
Jules,
couldn't stop.
Yeah, she really, like, takes over in that way. But Paul...
Who is her number one enemy.
They are
nemeses.
Yeah, because Jules...
Used
fucked
to be
with
best
his.
They used to be BFF.
Then Paul dated someone.
Paul dated Tinsley Mortimer's
brother-in-law.
So in-law. She dated.
He dated a Mortimer.
Topper Mortimer's brother, I think.
Wow.
So they were, you know, very enmeshed families. I think they were together for a while, and then according to Paul, Jules was texting this boyfriend that Paul, like, all these sinister things that Paul was doing on the side.
And, like, ruined their breakup or relationship.
Which, like, I'm sure she was doing that, but I don't think it just takes... So there was probably other things happening that caused that, but Paul has made up in his head that it's Jules that caused his, like, divorce from this man.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Jules, when she really sets her mind to, like, ruining your life, she tries with all her might to do it.
Well, yeah, and I think she's actually, like, scary, because according to Paul, she's, like, burned down her family's country home.
Yeah, so Jules, according to Paul, has burned the country house down and also pretended to have cancer.
So, according to Paul, Jules is, like, the forerunner of faking cancer on reality TV show, which, like, now is, like, kind of a norm.
Yeah, now there's, like, cancer fakers everywhere, but Jules was one of the first, like, notable cancer fakers. Even Tony woke up for that. He's like, I don't trust Jules.
I don't trust Jules.
He's giving a side eye to Jules.
He's literally going
back to sleep. He's one eye open at me.
Back to REM cycle. Immediately to REM.
Yeah.
So Paul...
So Paul hates Jules.
And she hates Paul.
They have an iconic hatred towards each other.
But, like, maybe secretly still love each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're that tight of it speaks to how close you were as friends if you then go into, like, a full-fledged, like, hatred, shit-talking, and, like, physical violence against each other.
And when we get into it, we'll get into it later, but, like, when we do see them interact, like, it almost seems like Jules is, like, smiling at him because she thinks he's, like, great. So, like, when they're fighting, you can almost see Jules, like,
She kind of laughs at what he says.
She's like laughing at everything he says.
They're kind of Parnos and Lindsay, if you think about it.
They are a little Parnos and Lindsay. They're kind of like PC Peterson and Jesse from NYC Prep. Mm-hmm. Like frenemies, codependent.
They know exactly how to push each other's buttons.
So, but Paul is like a true...
Paul's
babe.
Yeah, he's a babe in this period of his life, which is captured on camera. It begins, his first line is like, "My name is Paul Johnson Calderon. I've been to rehab twice and I'm still drinking."
Like, what an amazing moment.
Love.
And like, he's very unabashed about it. Like, he wears his recovery attempts with pride.
Yeah. He's like a multi-rehab bragger, which is like a certain type of recovering addict.
And I've wondered, is he part of the, like, the Johnson family? Because it seems like his family is, like, extremely wealthy.
I want to say yes, but I'm not so sure. He goes to a party with a, like, promoter guy named Malik Soshik, where he just, like, drinks a ton of beers, makes out with a random, and then they get in a limo afterwards, and Paul goes, "I know what I want, and if you don't like it, peace," and rolls down his window and, like, tosses the beer outside.
A PBR,
just, like, outside a limo onto the street.
They went, him and Malik not so she, and I love how he's like, "I'm with this guy named Malik not so she," like, he's totally like, "I don't know who this person is." He's just with him, and they go to the Ritz, which is like a gay bar in Midtown, which is like, I've like only had dark nights there, so like I totally was like brought back to that when seeing the Ritz in this shot.
A dark night of the soul at the Ritz.
It truly is. The Ritz is, okay, full disclosure, I went to the Ritz when I first moved to New York, and I went...
Tony's face is like, "Oh man, the Ritz."
Yeah, the Ritz. He's like ready for this story. So I went to the Ritz, and I was on ecstasy, and I went with my friend from high school, and like, who was visiting from college or something, and we all went out, and I was on ecstasy, and my friend David, like, we were just like... having a good night, and at the Ritz they walk around and they take photos of you, like
they have photographers.
Yeah, they have
there.
Like a photographer on hand, and so I was with my friend Dave and my friend Pat, and like we all like took the photo, and like, mind you, my eyes were probably like sharks,
saucers,
like saucer eyes.
Yeah.
And months later, I was on Facebook, and this random guy who I'd met a few times messaged me on Facebook, and he goes, "Hey, you just came up in my Facebook sidebar," and I was like, "What?" He goes, "In the advertisement section." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And he sent a screenshot of this picture of me from the Ritz.
Eat out of your brain.
Eat out of my, like, yacked out of my mind, like, rolling my fucking, like, little titties off. And it was like, "Come to the Ritz."
I love them using that as, like, the promo.
They used me. And it was, like, my first, like, introduction into, like, social media is, like, not a safe place.
Yeah.
And I
did you message them?
Yeah, I, like, emailed. I went in there, like, and it was, like, on their, like, Facebook page. And, like, people were liking it. And, like, I was, like, first of all, not enough people are liking this photo. First of all, I was, like, offended by, like, the lack of engagement this photo got. But I was also, like, they're using my likeness and my friend's likeness. And it was, like, so weird. And I messaged them, and I think they took it down. But I was, like, this is unacceptable.
It was, like, unacceptable.
I'm going to contact Facebook HQ. Like, I was, like, going ham.
I love taking it. You escalated things.
I escalated things.
You escalated things Jules Kirby attorney style.
I was super, like... Jules in the hotel room.
I'm ready for, like, always to threaten legal action.
I will send a cease and desist,
or like,
to the Ritz.
Yeah, just like threaten, like, a total exposure of your brand.
Right.
I'm like, I will dedicate the rest of my existence to using my platform to take you down if you don't do XYZ.
If you don't remove my saucerized photo, like, immediately from this space.
Were you sober at this point when you re-saw it again?
No, this was like... This was like 7 years. It was like
it
7 years ago.
It was early in the game.
I was very not sober, but like I still didn't want people to see this horrific photo of me. So when Paul was at the Ritz, I was like, my resentments came back. And I was like, fuck these people.
Angry all over again.
But when you're at that place, like you're only going to have a dark night.
You're going to have saucer eyes, a make out with a random, and then like littering.
And also being with someone named like Malik Not So Chic. So Paul throws his beer out the window. So immediately we love Paul.
Yeah, we're like, okay, we're totally Paul's in love iconic. With Paul.
He's amazing.
Then later he meets his mom for lunch.
Also a true icon.
Yeah.
A true gay ally.
A gay ally, Paul's mom. I don't know her name except just Paul's mom. I think
she's just Mrs. Paul's mom.
Yeah.
She's from Massachusetts. She took the train down. She thought for like a nice brunch with her gay son who she just wants to like find a husband and like settle down.
Yeah, she's like, you know,
when are you gonna bring a guy?
He's been to rehab twice, yeah. But he's still drinking. But she also is like, I think she also doesn't really know how recovery works because she's like, they do like a challenge style interview on the street with her. And she's like,
yeah,
you know, Paul is doing really well. Like, I have watched him. He seems to be only drinking one glass of wine.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
And she's like, I'm confident that he only drinks one glass of wine. Like when he goes out at night and yeah. Like they cut to him like throwing a beer out the window. But yeah, her like man on the street interview, mm-hmm. It felt like very Sex and the City season one where they would like do those awkward stilted interviews with people.
So she's like just having faith that Paul knows what he's doing and they get to lunch and he's like, mother dear.
At the Russian tea room.
The Russian tea room. Sit down, very Gossip Girl. And he's like, mother dear, I came here to ask you if you'll release $50,000 to me from my trust fund. And she's like, Paul, I thought we were just having lunch. Like, plus you've run through $200,000 already.
I was speechless.
And then he goes, well, I didn't know I was having tea with Mussolini. Samantha Jones wishes.
Yeah. And it also in this moment, they've like added like a soundtrack over, because I'm sure whatever music they're playing they didn't have the license to, so they're playing like free iTunes classical music and mm-hmm. It's like do 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 do, and like so it's just so fake and mm-hmm. It's all so staged. And she's like, Paul, you've almost run like $250,000 through your trust fund. And he's like, what? Like, I just, like, I have things that I need to do.
I need to shop.
He's like, I need an apartment like renovated, like I really want to like. And he's so good at manipulating her because he's like, it's all in the hopes of me settling down and like having a family.
Yeah.
So he's like, so I need a really good space to like host men, potential suitors.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he says that, she's like, okay.
She breathes a sigh of relief.
I'll think about it.
And like, yeah, they agree to just like part ways and she's going to think about releasing funds. And we had a side conversation where we were like, how much money is in his trust fund? And I think that it just must be a lot.
It must be like an unfathomable amount.
Because like if it was only a mill and he's run through that, I would think that a parent or whoever was like the guardian of the fund would be like absolutely not.
Yeah.
That'd be like, you're going to be homeless.
This is an emergency.
Yeah.
But like, and this could all be fake too.
Yeah,
but like,
that's true.
But it felt kind of real.
I think this show was pretty authentic and real, which is why it ended up on the chopping block.
But we were saying, I mean, we were guessing at least like tens of millions.
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
It to be so casual and like the mom being, it's like when my dad would be like, when I was still like asking my dad for money, he'd be like, I just put $60 in your, you know what I mean? He was like, Gary, I just gave you $60, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, so she's talking about fucking $200,000.
Yeah.
Like it's nothing.
Being like, you spent like $200 last week on groceries.
Yeah.
But Paul spent $200,000. And I don't know if it's like $200,000 that went to the rehabs or if rehabs come out of like a different account.
I think he must have like a different.
I would love to know what he spent that money on.
Yeah. I mean, I think we know.
Yeah. So Paul is just, he's really TBD. Like, will he get the money? Won't mm-hmm. he?
I love that that's his pilot drama.
Yeah.
Is if, will he get 50,000 grant, 50,000 from his trust
Released
fund?
Released from his trust fund, who his mom like holds the keys to.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned to find out.
And she goes, do you remember when she goes, your grandfather like worked, you know, he worked so hard for all his wealth. Like she's just, it's everything she's saying. It's so like, what?
It's like this is not the way to make him understand that.
Yeah, he's like, lunch. I don't care about my grandfather. He's like, this is not.
He's like, that's great.
Good for him.
But this is 2010.
Mother.
You can't invent like doorknobs or elevator buttons anymore, mother.
Yeah. So they part ways. She's gonna stew on it.
And then we meet the true queen of high society, Dale Mercer.
So for any Switch crossover fans with also with the Roni, Real Housewives of New York, we now know, like, Dale has become a fixture on the show.
Yeah.
Like, she's probably more interesting than, like, any of them.
Dale is my queen because she gets an idea in her head and she goes with it.
She's a little dowdy.
100%. Yeah, she's very, has, like, some dowdy energy.
Dale Mercer is Tinsley's mother. She's Dabney's mother. She is... lives in Newport full-time, Newport, Rhode Island, and it's like, you know, one of those like marble palatial homes I have up there.
She seems to be more into Tinsley than Dabney.
Oh, for sure. Tinsley is the...
Dale's obsessed with Tinsley.
Dabney's the lost child, and Tinsley's the golden child.
Yeah.
So Tinsley just outshines Dabney, and I think Dabney knows it and has made peace with it.
Yeah.
But Dale Mercer only really comes down, I think, to check on Tinsley.
And she's really upset that Tinsley and Topper have gotten divorced, and she... her... she's like, A, upset because she's an interior decorator and she decorated their apartment.
And she says it's nice, too, to have their monograms be the same because they both have the same
initials. She had a lot of attachment to that hideously decorated. It looked like an older woman decorated it.
It was the most...
it looked like if Dale lived there, you'd be like, this is so charming.
And like we said earlier, like Tinsley was like, we lived in the most fabulous apartment. And me and you were both like, this looks like a dead person lives there.
Mm-hmm. And so then Dale is like, what is Tinsley thinking? She's living in the Midtown.
The Midtown.
She hates that Tinsley lives in Midtown.
She calls it the Midtown.
The Midtown.
So she goes to visit Tinsley at her new place.
Yeah. And she's also scandalized because Tinsley is dating a prince.
A German prince.
A German prince named Casimir.
Who, you know, Dale is like, wants her daughter dating a true Yankee. Like, she does not want, like,
she doesn't like European these, like, blood. European... yeah.
It's like how the European aristocrats inbreed. Like, she wants only, like, American, like, true blue blood.
Yeah.
So she's very sus about Prince Casimir, which also so am I.
Yeah, I mean, that just, it's not adding up. And we later find out, like, he later turns into an asshole, but it kind of lays the groundwork, like...
for what's coming.
For what's coming. And you see, like, Tinsley has a pattern of dating these, like, kind of asshole dudes.
Yeah, so Dale, according to Dale... Casimir is already reading through Tinsley's emails. She's like checking his... she goes, he checks your BlackBerry, Tinsley. Like, he's already snooping around the BB.
He's super controlling.
He's very controlling already. And
but he's allowing himself to be on the show, unlike Topper, whose face is blurred out in every single scene.
But when we see the cuts of Casimir, he's always like... shown from the side.
Shown from the side with an aviator sunglass
on. And like a black peacoat on.
Yeah. Just like kind of shadily looking around. He's shady.
Oh, he's so shady.
And so Dale comes to visit.
TBD.
But Dale is on the case. Dale is going to get to the bottom of things.
We can't spoil what's coming.
No, we won't spoil it. She comes to Tinsley, though.
This is why she's very dowdy to me. Because she pulls all the stops.
She cements herself... I went full Dale.
You went very Dale.
She cements herself as like the one to watch.
Yeah.
With her shenanigans on high society. But she tells Tinsley, she comes to visit her at her Midtown apartment, and Dale's like, this is disgusting. Meanwhile, it's like probably a $2 million apartment.
Yeah, it's like
it's a nice,
it's really like beautiful. Apartment. It's like a lofted ceilings, a huge like Florida ceiling windows.
It's good for a single girl who's just like getting divorced and getting back out there.
I mean,
it's fine.
It's more than fine.
We'll find that Dale is completely unsupportive of this divorce and tries to troll Tinsley at every single
turn.
To this day, still activates a divorce troll.
Recently,
Topper has been remarried to like a new person, like has moved on with his life.
Speaking
and
of this new person,
let it go is Dale.
In a recent episode of Roni, Tinsley meets her mother for drinks and she looks down at Dale's, she's wearing like velvet slippers, like loafers for women. And Tinsley goes, Mom, those are shoes by Topper's new wife. And Dale looks at her and goes, I know.
And then smiles.
Dale
is here to troll. And I kind of love that about her.
It's, consummate.
You don't see a lot of her like nurturing side in high society, but in Roni, what I like is that you see like she does troll, but then she's also like super there for Tinsley and like does have like a positive nurturing motherly side.
Dale's
and
so amazing.
I really like their relationship.
And Dale calls Tinsley out. Like Dale's like, you got to grow up. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think in this, she's probably what, in her mid 30s?
Tins?
Yeah.
In high society.
In high society.
I don't know.
Because in Roni, she's like 43.
Really?
Yeah. And on a recent episode of Real Housewives of New York, Tinsley has a full nervous breakdown in
a clown costume.
In a clown costume at the New York Circus. She's bawling her eyes out. She's like, I thought this would be my dream, but I feel nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And Dale's kind of like, Tinsley, like, a circus should not be your dream. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you've, your life is, oh my God. Tony is sprawled out on my stomach.
You're Dale and Tony is Tinsley. Yeah.
Tinsley. Dale.
Hi. I love when he falls back with just his eyes open and he like goes into a death sleep mode. He loves to lay on his back.
He's a prince.
He is a prince.
If there's any prince, it's not Casimir.
It's Prince Tony.
It's Tony. So Dale is like trolling Tinsley hard. She's, her mission is to get Tinsley to get back together with Topper.
Yeah. And then she just goes, before she leaves Tinsley's midtown apartment, she goes, don't be photographed with him. Do not.
Be photographed with the prince.
With the prince. She is giving her like a stern talking
full
to.
Full momager.
And then she leaves in a huff.
My goal in life is to have my mother turn to me and go, don't be photographed with this person.
Do not.
Like, that's when I know I've made it.
Yeah, that is like a true you've made it. Do not be photographed with this person. Do not.
She's like, all right, mom. Hurries her out the door.
Then Paul gets a call from his mother to tell him the good news that she, well, almost good news.
Let's back up for a second. Paul is with someone that you pointed out to me.
Hannah Bromfield. Bromfman.
Yeah.
You
educated me on this girl because I didn't know who she was.
So I'm sure a lot of the readers know who Hannah Bromfman is because she's like a big influencer.
She's a babe.
And is a total babe, has like a huge following on Instagram and like has like a website that's devoted to just like fitness and wellness and like matcha. And she's like loves like to work out and it's just great. And her image now is so different than like this moment because Paul gets a call from his mom that she's going to release $25,000 to him.
Yeah.
And she just transferred it into his account.
He's so initially kind of like,
He's like, I hate this, but like, thanks.
Thanks, mom.
Then he immediately calls Hannah, who comes to meet him at like a random hotel. I think he gets a hotel room.
He celebrated. He's like, I want to celebrate getting $25,000 from my trust fund.
Yeah.
For what?
He spends, I think, like most of it in one night because he has like a nice hotel room. He calls and gets racks of clothes delivered. Yeah. He's like popping champagne with Hannah and then they like head out on the town and they're like in a limo, glasses of champagne in hand, and she's like lolling at all his antics, which is like very off brand, like off HB Fit that we all know today brand. But I love like a glimpse into the past because you know all these people in New York are like friends with each other.
Oh, for sure.
Like, longtime friends.
And she's part of the Seagrams family, right?
Yeah, she's part of the Seagrams family who, if you're a true crime head and you've listened to Escaping Nexium, you will know that two of the Bromfman sisters, I think that are cousins of Hannah's, they're heiresses to a huge chunk of the Seagrams' fortune, and they've basically funded Keith Raniere's entire like legal representation in his like trial for like sex trafficking and like abuse and shit.
Wait, there's a podcast about it?
Yeah, called Escaping Nexium.
Oh, I'm gonna listen to it.
Oh my God, it is so good.
Were they working with Allison Mack?
They were working with the Seagrams.
Yeah,
they and Allison Mack and like all these people were like the high up women. And then the podcast focuses on this one husband and wife who were like the whistleblowers, but they were both in Nexium. And the wife got called. She got inducted into like the
branding.
Girl branding, but that was like a subdivision of Nexium that was like a second like level. But
they're
it was
the Manson girls, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. Like they just like convince you that like this is going to be great. And there, it all includes like having like a slave if you're going to be part of this like women's group. And so like you would have like a dom woman that you would have to like report to, and they could, your like dom or like master could call you at any time to like make you do anything, and you always have to do like what that woman tells you to do.
So they were just like,
it's like a pyramid scheme of like fucking, essentially.
So they were just like, I mean, this is like, sorry, we're diverging, but like they were just basically enacting this man's like fetishes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm nothing wrong with those fetishes, but when you're branding someone and forcing them into your...
Well, if they like don't, if you like really don't want to be branded, yeah, and then you're being like convinced to be branded, that's like not great.
No, of course. I'm just saying, like,
I'm like, go get branded if like, yeah, that's what you want.
If that's what you want, but like, but so they were branded doing it against
them,
their will.
They branded them, like got all the new recruits in, made them get naked, sit in a room while they were branded one by one. Then eventually this woman that's like the focus of Escaping Nexium woke up and realized that they had branded Allison Mack and Keith Raniere's initials onto her. And that's when she was like, wait, what the fuck?
So Allison Mack was like the high priestess of the church.
Yeah, she was like the right-hand woman.
Have you ever seen the video of her interviewing him?
No, but I'm sure it's crazy.
Bone chilling.
Yeah.
She's just staring at him, like everything he says, she's like looking at it like she's hearing about like space for the first time.
Yeah.
Like it's wild to me.
So then this woman and her husband like made a plan to like escape, but it's really good podcast. I think it's like 5 or 6 episodes.
So leading back to Hannah, I know.
Tony's just trying to breastfeed off of Carrie.
He's having dreams.
He's having a dream.
His eyes were rolling in the back of his head at one point.
Yeah.
So
he's in
she
true ecstasy.
He's amazing. He's so at she the Ritz. He's at the hotel that Paul's out. So Paul, yeah, we were saying he's probably spent like 3/4 of his what his mother just sent him.
Yeah.
On and he's like, I'm celebrating.
Yeah,
he's, I love, celebrating that he says that.
And like just God having a fun time. Yeah, Paul's like living his best
life. I love
life.
Paul.
I love Paul too. Yeah. I'm here for his whole journey, and I'm here every time he drags Jules. It just gives me the most joy in the world.
And full disclosure, I've met him in real life, and
same.
He's like a doll.
I had a night out with PJC.
I did too.
Back in the day, like when I think it was like around the time the first White Girl Problems book came out, and like had a true NYC night.
Me
which
too.
Was a real full circle moment, mm-hmm, because High Society was such a big influence, mm-hmm, for me. And then now I think he lives in San Francisco and he's like sober.
Yeah, he seems like he's doing well.
And like is like fighting for justice.
I'm into Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look him up.
He's a great guy.
He's a real babe to a babe.
Yeah.
He's babe. Been all the babes.
He's been all the babes.
Best kind of babe you can
and he
be.
Owns it.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Meanwhile, Tinsley and Jules, Dabney, and Alex are all going to an AIDS benefit.
Okay. I think the obvious most babe of this is Jules.
Yeah.
But like Alex is my biggest babe because I'm like, Jules is at least like just overtly horrible, and
yeah,
like she's like has a personality which is god awful. But Alex, I'm like, who, why is she here?
Jules is like a force to be reckoned with, where she's the kind of person who like, it's like she's exactly as you said, like overtly horrible, knows it, mm-hmm, takes pleasure in being that, but is also the kind of person that if like she had some sort of awakening in life, like she's a force to be reckoned with,
right?
And then could like change her life and be like a really powerful.
She could change the world.
She could change the world.
If she used her horrible racism and homophobia and anti-Semitism for good.
Yeah.
imagine what could be done.
But like Alex is kind of the worst because she's just like the silent, complicit friend that's like too uncomfortable to really say anything, mm-hmm, but just like goes along with it. And Dabney kind of does too. Tinsley's out to lunch. Like, I don't think Tinsley even knows what Jules feels about
No,
anything.
I don't think they really know each other, because on the way to the car, like, I think Jules remarks that Tinsley's not paying attention to anything they're talking about. And then Jules goes, which was like kind of funny. She goes, whatever, like you're divorced and you wear dresses like you're 12 years old. What does she say?
Yeah, she goes,
she just like makes fun of Tinsley for being like,
for dressing like a teenager.
And she goes, and you're old.
And you're old.
Meanwhile, I think Jules is the same age.
Jules is literally a young 65.
So they go to this AIDS benefit, which also
Jules
like,
is like, I wouldn't be surprised if she was really like a 65-year-old woman from Arizona, or she's like tan mom.
She is. I was just going to say, she reminds me of tan mom so much.
She is.
She definitely like spends her days just going to like get spray tans.
Spray and, tans, but like she loves to get like a good base tan going in like a machine for like 10 minutes.
And she goes to like Chopped,
yeah,
a salad place in New York, and like eats there and like is hungover all the time.
She's like eye rolls at everyone. Ugh. She's like total tan mom.
How hungover is she at all times?
She's 1000% Vanderpump Rules level hungover.
Yeah.
And like also just like coke hangovers.
I feel the coke hangover when I was watching her, just like under her, like the coke hangover is like you can feel it like under your eyes because mm-hmm. it's in that nasal area. So like you're just feeling like attire that can't be explained.
That's why she's so red, probably.
Yeah, she's ruddy, she's over tanned, her hair is fried, she's like straightened her hair too much.
She's just a sailor.
She is a fucking pirate.
She's a pirate.
She's been
on the high seas for months.
She's a no nonsense barkeep.
Yeah.
That's what she is.
In Arizona. In like a shitty town in Arizona.
Yeah. She's at like a shitty country club. Like she's like this like haggard waitress.
Yeah.
That works at like a country club.
That's worked there for years. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, that's Jules.
No, Jules. She's like the head waitress at this like, at the men's lounge in this like terrible country club in Arizona.
She brings like, them all their like cigars and then like tells racist jokes
and
with them.
Slap her butt.
She's and she's like, fine. And they give her tips.
Yeah.
And then she goes home to like her studio apartment.
Yeah. She lives in like a condo in like Scottsdale mm-hmm. and like goes out in her balcony and like chain smokes like Newports and drinks like Yellowtail Pinot Grigio out of the Magnum.
Yeah, and she like, just kind of stares off into the distance with mm-hmm. her feet up on like the balcony.
And when they're like dirty and she wears like, and she listens to like Dreams by Fleetwood Mac like on repeat mm-hmm. and just like chain smokes like Newports.
She changes into like a terry cloth, like mm-hmm. Juicy Couture.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
And then just like chains.
Yeah, and she has a dog that like, or a cat or something that's like just like not really.
Yeah.
So Jules goes home and does that.
Yeah.
She watches like, she still has pay-per-view.
She loves pay-per-view. Yeah. She won't go.
I never switched.
She won't go to the theater.
Yeah.
She just waits till it comes out on pay-per-view.
I never switched over. I'm not going to do Netflix. Mm-hmm. I just like, fuck. I got the pay-per-view. I've had it since 1996. And I'm not going to. I watch the boxing matches on pay-per-view.
So. She'll have boxing match parties.
I got the match on this weekend. I'm going to have some people over and, you know, we're just going to like, we're gonna watch pay-per-view.
She's always dating guys that like love that like don't have pay-per-view, but mm-hmm. she does, so she'll host all the parties for them to like watch boxing matches.
She only allows men in her house.
Yeah.
She has like one girlfriend who's like another like, you know,
country club mm-hmm. worker.
And it's them plus like a bunch of like young men mm-hmm. from like town who are all like scrubs, and they come over.
She's always dating like a 25-year-old.
Yeah. And they like,
because she's still like kind of sassy and she always stayed thin.
Yeah. Because she does so much coke. And like,
she does coke and she's just like waspy like that.
But she has like a bit of the, like, she's got like the wine, like, you know, the wine puff.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like in that sphere.
Yeah.
And she has her,
she clips her extensions in mm-hmm. like underneath.
Yeah.
So she's learned how to make her hair really like voluminous.
And she draws her eyebrows on in a way that's like she bleached her eyebrows so much in the past that like her hair just fell off. So now she just like fully draws her eyebrows on basically with a Sharpie.
She's thinking about getting microblading, but she's like on the fence about mm-hmm. it. But she loves living in Arizona.
She loves it. She gets tan.
She's like, you can tan. It's warm all year.
Her family completely has cut her off.
She's been cut off for decades now.
But she still
loves Arizona too because of their like race or like overt racism.
Yeah, and they, you know, gays hate gay people there. Like,
yeah,
she's
really into like building the wall. So she's like part of one of those like wall building groups where like on weekends she goes down and like helps lay bricks.
She goes to Women for Trump.
Yeah.
She goes to like Women for Trump meetings like once a month. Mm-hmm. And she brings like her Yellowtail. And it's the only time she talks to women.
Yeah.
Is at like a Women for Trump meeting.
She's like, I don't trust anyone, but I like it here.
I like it here. And then she always gets way too drunk at those. And like,
everyone's weirded out by her.
Everyone gets like weirded out and they like have to call a car for her.
Yeah.
And she goes home. Wow.
But she thinks she's doing like great political work.
Yeah. She's an activist. And she's she posts like anti like liberal memes.
Yeah.
Like she posts like AOC, anti AOC memes.
She hates AOC.
Hates AOC. She hates Bernie.
She runs like a meme account on Instagram that's like somewhat racist memes.
Yeah.
And then just like far right.
No one knows
that it's her, but it has like 25,000 followers.
But she's gotten into some legal trouble because some like alt-right people who've like copyrighted their own memes.
Yeah.
They like send her like their like legal letters, like cease and desist. Like you have to take these down. So she's always getting stuff pulled.
Yeah.
But God bless her. She'll keep trying.
She'll always keep trying.
Yeah.
And like she's just here like fighting her own fight in Arizona.
And like once in a while she'll go into her like New York City high school like Facebook group and like someone will like say like someone will post something about an upcoming reunion coming up and then Jules will just like she'll post one of the memes from the like anti like she'll post like a pro Trump meme just like in the comments.
Yeah, just to like fuck with people.
And it starts a fight. And then people are like and then she starts fighting people.
She loves to just like single-handedly destroy Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Like she's done this over and over for like her high school graduating class.
Yeah.
Like she's come in and just like taken over and then causes so much infighting that like the group just implodes. She cackles to herself and then slaps her laptop shut.
Yeah, she comes into the group and she just goes, what does she say? She comes in and she goes, the people need to redefine what cages mean. Because I don't, when I see those, I don't see cages. I see a Holiday Inn. And they're like, what? And she's like, you know the cages, like the border. She's like, I see a nice like Hampton Inn when I look at those. Like, what's going on there? Like, why, the liberals, they want you to think it's, and this has nothing to do with anything that anyone's talking about.
She loves like a Facebook Live video too, like where she rants and then we'll post it in these groups. And she just like she just loves it.
Yeah.
Jules is like chaos.
And she loves conspiracy theories.
She's a truther. Like any kind
flat
of
flat earther.
Any kind of thing that you can truth about, she truths.
She's hard. A flat earther.
She's a total flat earther.
Jules Kirby is a flat earther, you've heard it here and now.
Yeah.
She likes like flat earther memes.
This is why no one's heard of her and you can't do wellness checks of her because she literally moved to
Arizona.
I have
done a wellness check.
Yeah.
There's nothing about her online.
Yeah, she's in AZ.
Anyway.
She lives a citizen's arrest.
Oh, yeah.
She loves pulling people over.
Oh, my God. Jules does like a citizen's arrest every week at Starbucks.
Yeah.
She like starts fights with like, one day, like this gay couple was like in Starbucks. And they were, like, this, like, middle-aged gay couple that's, like, retired. And they were, like, being affectionate with each other. And oh, my God. And she called a citizen's arrest on them. And everyone was, like, what are you doing?
She was, like, there's an AIDS outbreak at Starbucks. She called, like, the CDC and, like, called.
Sorry,
but, like, can I talk to someone? There's, like.
Yeah. There's these homosexuals here and they're like endangering children.
Yeah.
It's like really bothering me.
I'm like, I don't want to get AIDS.
And then she throws her phone.
Yeah.
I don't want to get AIDS.
She throws her phone at the Starbucks like pastry case.
Yeah.
And it just lodged right in there.
She still has a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
Her BlackBerry is, no, she has giant phone from the hotel. She still has from the Empire Hotel. She just carries that around. And it doesn't even work anymore, and she just throws it.
Yeah, she just always needs a phone to throw.
She threw it, and the barista was like, ma'am, I'm calling the police. And she's like, good, let's get him here to arrest them.
Yeah.
And the gay couple, like, one of them's wearing a visor, and he's like, fucking bitch, and, like, walks away. And then another time, she's also one of those women that, like, will call the police on, like, black children playing at like a playground or something.
Oh, totally.
She's totally that like white woman that's like, what are you guys doing here?
And she's they're like watching always and suspicious. Yeah.
And they're like, we're having a picnic. And she's like, well, I'm calling the police. And then she calls the police and then like they meme her.
Yeah.
Which is what Jules is.
She's been memed a lot, but you just don't recognize her anymore. So you wouldn't put it together. But she like is the original, I'm calling the manager.
She's calling the manager.
Can I speak to the manager?
I love the names for those women too. Like
Karen.
Picnic Patty or like something like it's fucking terrible women. Those white people.
So yeah, that's just like an update on Jules.
We veered off. So they're going to an AIDS benefit, which is like, okay.
That's what AIDS needs, is like four white women who are just there to get photographed.
Tinsley Mortimer and Alex Asimov.
Yeah.
Abisal. Going to the AIDS benefit.
And then PJC is with Hannah in the back of the car.
And they decide to go to the AIDS benefit too.
And it, Paul goes, Jules, whack-ass Kirby.
Which is the best. Jules, whack-ass Kirby is going to be there.
He is a... Why don't you go burn your country house down or pretend to have cancer? She faked cancer because her parents cut her off and she wanted the money.
She's truly the queen of the dregs
of society.
Which is the best thing I've ever heard.
And then he goes, I hope she dies in a fire. And then he goes, I wouldn't piss on her corpse if she was burning to death. So Paul hates Jules.
The most vicious, like, not even like... kill yourself or like something, like it's like that's horrible in itself, but he says
die in a horrific accident.
I wouldn't piss on your burning corpse
if you
so the lengths of his hatred for this woman is like out of control, but obviously like justified in some way.
I mean, she did him dirty and now he's back for revenge.
So they go to this AIDS charity and they keep calling it the AIDS charity.
Yeah,
and like, it's good to like go to these things and like raise money for AIDS.
Mm-hmm. And so Paul's there. He's ignoring Jules. And she, like, sees him.
Jules says the most horrible thing ever. She says he might be, like, needing this charity because he might be an AIDS victim. I don't know.
Yeah. She starts, like, just randomly telling people that maybe Paul has AIDS. Which is classic Jules.
Classic Jules curb.
And then Paul and Hannah bounce, and Paul's throwing now a party Apothecary.
And Apothecary in Chinatown.
Because it's a party to celebrate the $25,000 that was released.
He's doing... The fact that Paul is throwing an after party for an AIDS charity is, like...
wild.
Legendary. Mm-hmm. Like, what? He's like, I'm going to have an after party to celebrate a few things, namely my trust fund being released.
So at this after party, Jules and everyone shows up.
Paul's drinking cans of beer. He loves a can of beer.
He loves like a PBR.
Yeah.
Jules shows up and is talking shit to everyone she sees about Paul.
Yeah.
And is like, she just came there to like verbally malign him.
Tinsley. Yeah. I don't even know. I guess the producers were like, you have to go to a pot. Like, it's in your contract to go to Apothecary.
Yeah. Tinsley is still like unaware of anything that's happening. Yeah.
Tinsley doesn't know any of these people. She knows Paul. So she was like, okay, I'll go to Paul's like shitty after party.
But she's really more concerned about like
being
doing her makeup and being photographed.
She's like, God, she's like, this is why I don't go downtown.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because Tinsley literally wants to live only in the 10 block like Upper East Side radius.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Are you going to settle?
Yes. So her, Alex, Dabs, and Jules go to Apothecary. They walk in. Paul's shouting, like, die in a fire. Like, he's just, like, on so many things.
Jules is, like, has, like, a talking head moment. And she's, like, well, Paul's probably going to get AIDS or, like, die of suicide. I don't know.
It's really sad.
It's really sad.
And they, but it's funny to see them interact because I said earlier, like, Are you okay?
He's fine. Just trying to get situated. There you go.
When Jules walks in and Paul like walks up to her and he's like, hi, Jules. And they like, and she's like kind of almost like swatting his face away.
Yeah.
Like he gets like in her face. Like he's just ready to go. He's like extreme at all points. Like,
yeah.
So extra. Gets right in her face. Jules all but slaps him away. But Jules is also laughing, so she, like, kind of loves it.
She loves, like, a fight. She loves an opportunity to brawl with someone.
And Paul is her, like, ultimate bad.
Paul's there to brawl.
So they are having, like, you know, a lot of tension.
They're having a lot of tension. It's building and building. And then finally, Paul, like, gets a glass full of whiskey and goes, like, to try and toss it around the corner and throw it at Jules. But instead, Jules dodges and the whole contents of the glass hit Alex in the eye.
And Jules takes Alex into like this back corner of Apothecary and Alex is screaming.
She's
like,
screaming
screeching.
Like as though her eye was just gouged out.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly. Tony, go to sleep.
So Jules is crying. Jules is like tending to Alex, and I was imitating Jules. Like, she's looking at Paul. She's going like, "How dare you? Like, someone call the cops." She's like, "I'm gonna call the police on him," and she's in the corner like helping Alex, and Alex is screaming, and Paul's just like LOLing.
Alex is like wailing, and yeah. She goes, "This is not a joke.
This is not a joke.
Call the police.
Call the police." And then you see Jules going like, "Oh my god!" And it's like so performative, and Paul's like, "I gotta go apologize to this girl so like I don't get sued."
Then Paul runs away because the cops do come.
The cops show up to the bar.
Paul runs off.
There's ambulances.
Hops in a limo with a beer and then gets the hell out of there and goes to another club.
Yeah, he goes to what club did they go to?
I can't remember.
Like Acme or like...
Something like that.
Yeah. And then Tinsley's like, "This is why I don't come downtown." And she's like... And Tinsley like slips out the back door because she's like, "I can't be seen here.
I can't be seen in this kind of mess.
I can't be noted that I was here at this like... crime-ridden scene."
So then the next day, Tinsley moves out of Topper's apartment.
Oh my god.
And it's really dramatic.
She has a moving truck. It's like snowing or something.
It's like not snowing, but like it's just like she and Topper are on the street just like pacing around. He's fully blurred and the movers are moving all her stuff, and she's just like really... She's distraught.
She's wearing green Converse.
She's like sitting at one point in the back of the moving truck, giving like a man on the street interview, being like,
I can't believe
this is so hard. Like, I don't know like how it came to this.
Yeah, she's like, my whole life, like the only thing I've known is like being Topper's wife, and it's really hard. And you just see Topper in the background, like on his like Bluetooth with like his face.
He's like so trying to leave.
Yeah, he's like, "I have to go. Like, I have to go meet my new wife."
So Tinsley takes all her stuff to her new apartment in Midtown, and then like it's unloaded, and there's just like a long shot of her crying hysterically on her bed, and then the camera just gets like closer and closer and closer.
It's like in,
to where it's in her face.
You can see her pores.
Yeah,
like, it's in her like direct line of sight. She's weeping, screaming into her comforter.
Sobbing.
In a fetal position. And it pans out and you see that she's still wearing her green Converse.
She's still wearing her green Converse. And like, to think of, like, thinking of having that kind of emotional journey with a cameraman, like, right there and a sound crew around.
And it's very Crocodile Tears.
Yeah, like, it's a lot.
And it's like, it's a full circle because that's how we started and that's how we ended.
If you were to Google me...
"How did a girl like me get into a place like this?"
And I'm very lucky. Yeah. So now we're caught up to speed on all of Tinsley's.
What a pilot.
It gave through a lot of things
out
there.
It also made no sense.
No. What sucked me in was mostly like Paul and Jules.
Yeah.
And then Tinsley was kind of like a secondary character, even though it's supposed to be like her show.
Well, Tinsley...
But she gets better, like, it gets better and better between her and Dale, and it truly, like, they introduce, like, a new socialite, like, maybe in the next episode or the episode afterwards.
I can give you a little sneak preview. If you've watched NYC Prep, you know this woman. Her name is Devorah Rose.
She's on NYC Prep?
Yes! Devorah Rose is in a amazing episode where PC Peterson goes to like be a PA on a photo shoot. He's like kind of coming into his queer identity, and there's like all these gay guys and they're all flirting with him, and Devorah Rose is like the creative director for this shoot.
Love.
And she's like being kind of flirty with PC, and I was like totally like, "Who is this woman?" And then she like shows up with him to a party, and his friend gets mad at him, and she says, "Guests of guests don't bring friends." And that was Devorah Rose's. And then when I watched High Society, I was like, fuck.
She's been trying.
And I think she was like a gawker. Like,
she was a gawker. Like,
they made fun of her. And like,
but then where did she go after? We need to do a wellness check on her.
I've done a wellness check on Devorah Rose.
Okay. What's she up to now?
She's active. I think she's like an editor of this like make-believe magazine in New York.
I love that. She loves a make-believe magazine. Right? She's been loving the make-believe.
So she's coming.
She's in a fantasy world.
Yeah, she does. So she's coming. Like, just wait for Devorah.
Yeah. But there's lots to come.
Dale is anything that you need to know about the show is that Dale Mercer is the star, and she's the star of she outshines Tinsley everywhere she goes.
Yeah.
And I think Tinsley knows it, and that's why she brings her on, because she makes Tinsley more interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I like am so attached to their dynamic. Like, I've cried.
I have cried too.
It's amazing. I love them as like a mother and daughter duo.
Tinsley also snuck up on me in The Real Housewives because she, like, I mean, she's some of her thing, her wants are like seemingly outdated, I guess, if you're talking about like modern feminism and mm-hmm. but she knows what she wants. She knows who she is. She has no qualms about it. She just wants to be rich and like be married. And she's,
what is her tagline right now for Roni? It's like, game, set, match. Now I need a man.
Yeah, because she's a tennis player.
That is like, if you're like boldly stepping out with that, you're like, I'm in.
No, she
wants a man. She needs a man.
She, when she's in the moment when she's crying to her mom at the circus, she's like, here I am in a pretty poofy dress, just like I always wanted as a little girl, and I always wanted to be this in a poofy dress, and I'm not happy. And it's like, she always like wants to be like a little girl.
Yeah,
like at the hotel, she wants to be Eloise.
She's always been a little girl at heart.
But Dale, and especially in, you know, Dale's like basically is like, snap out of it, you know, mm-hmm. like Moonstruck style. She's like, Tinsley, you know, life isn't over for you. You're 43, like this, but like, you can't be crying like this. Like, this is like ridiculous. You know, she's upset about Scott, that, you know,
Chicago guy.
Yeah, she's like a fucking scrub and like yeah. didn't treat her well. And Dale's like, get over it, you know? And I think Tinsley has just grown a lot for me as like a favorite.
Yeah, same.
And she has really funny takes.
She has really everyone's funny. Number. And she's like,
and she's kind.
She's a smart, kind lady.
She's a Columbia.
And she's funny, and she like knows her place on the show, yeah. like, and accepts it. And it's kind of funny because like she gets trolled by the other women constantly, and she's like, it's whatever, I'm the yeah. little sister, it's fine, it's yeah. fine, and like just puts up with it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, she's like, I got the last pick of the rooms whenever they go on trips, but like she has really good calls on everyone yeah. and like says it, and like she's always right.
Here for Tinsley.
I'm always here for Tinsley Mortimer,
her origin story.
But this is crazy. And yeah, the fact that she's never addressed it on,
no one has ever addressed it, it's so bizarre. We'll get to the bottom. We'll figure out like what happened. But my theory is that it was like all the rich families got together, and the elders decided at like an Eyes Wide Shut-esque meeting that they were going to cancel high society and have
Whoa,
it spread.
You know, the eyes. That's the Eyes Wide Shut like chanting. I know, I'm sorry. Tony
didn't like that.
That's what the guy sounds like. And then they go with the pole.
Yeah, before they all just like fucked in like insane orgies in multi-bedrooms of the mansion, they were like, first things first, we must scrub high society from the internet. And then they were like, okay, I'll call my lawyer.
and then this like naked woman just came out of nowhere and
with a cell phone yeah, and handed it to one of them.
I will redeem them. she sacrificed her life.
Yeah.
So Jules Kirby could have her like name kind of spared.
They definitely sacrificed a model to like get, but when they also like didn't need to.
They also just didn't need to do the show. But also this happened on NYC Prep too, because I interviewed two of the kids that were on it like a few years ago. And one of the girls, Camille, who was like the brain, and she was like going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually like, I could only get in touch with two of them, but they were actually very sweet and like funny and had like a good sense of humor about it.
Yeah.
But Camille told me that she was basically chased out of her boarding school or her day school in New York.
Oh, I'm sure.
She went to Nightingale, which is like the Gossip Girl school.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically made her leave because they were like, you're ruining our children's chances of going into like a good college. And she had parents harassing her on phone calls every night. Like, they would call her house and like
Was she the one that like got to live in an apartment by herself?
No, that was Kelly.
Okay. Yeah, I Kelly mean, Thomas I think off. It's weird because it's like, okay, obviously, I mean, NYC prep was like, you have just straight up absentee parents that are like, good for you, honey. Go film your show. Like,
yeah.
Fun. Have
fun.
Oh,
that sounds fun.
Call me.
But they didn't realize like what...
what it really was. Yeah. So that's like on them. But like, and High Society was a bit of the same thing because it's just like grown up children, essentially, who are like...
in their late 20s to early 30s.
Running amok, but bringing shame to the family name with their antics.
Yeah, you can excuse like a bunch of like stupid 16-year-old kids.
Because like their parents had to sign the permission slip. It's not like they can film a reality show as a minor without their parents being like, yes, I explicitly give permission for you to do this. So it's like...
It's their parents' fault.
That's what you fucking get.
But these people are fully adults.
These people are like...
not on their parents' health insurance adults. Like,
no, they are
26.
Like past... like they are homeowners. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what they do except just like
Paul might be. You'll see his apartment more. It's a wild apartment.
It's an eclectic mix. The decorating in High Society is the interiors are really TBD and kind of like a nice in the way that Vanderpump has their very specific interiors. Everyone in High Society has their specific interiors.
Yeah, Paul's apartment is a like this is happening. It's nice.
But the Empire Hotel is also a
The Empire Hotel is the most
It's brown and purple color scheme, which is like truly that's all you need to know.
It's like I can't even describe what it is. It's like it kind of reminds me of Kardashians before this era of Kardashians.
It was like the first iteration of Kardashians.
When they first got wealth and they all upgraded.
Because they also loved brown and purple together.
When they all their homes like didn't have style, but it was like they had all this money and it was very nouveau riche.
Then they
now
did,
it's like
yeah, now it's like they're
perfection
beyond chic. But like yeah, at the first it was like a lot of brown and purples and then like a black and white floor.
Chris's house, like before this new house where it's like, you know, jaw dropping, that house was like, whoa.
I love like aesthetic glow ups that people go through.
Yeah.
I mean, except for Vanderpump Rules, like I don't necessarily want them to have one, but I don't, I'm pretty confident they won't get there. Maybe some of them will.
Yeah.
But it's a we shall see scenario. But yeah, High Society is like.
But we're ready for this journey.
As Luann said, money can't buy you class.
It's true.
Elegance is learned.
But like, stay tuned. There's what? I think 8 episodes?
No, I think there's 6.
Oh, it's a short. It'll still be a short.
We like to start things never knowing how many episodes they are. It'll be a short journey, but a meaningful one.
A meaningful and just get ready to get dark because things are about to.
This is just the beginning.
This is just the tip. And it's this season surprisingly has a lot happening in it.
So much happens. I also love that we're recapping another show with a Jules in it.
I know. And they're kind of similar.
They're very similar.
They kind of look alike.
What if they're long-lost sisters?
They might be.
Switch, like, Jules from Lohan Island came, like, second.
Wait, I have an update about what... I have to tell... Oh, my God. I have some, like, updates for all of our Lohan Island fans.
What? Should we save the update for the bonus episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to sign off.
I have to pee so bad.
But...
thank you so much for letting me talk with you about High
Thank
Society.
Thank you so much for being here. Follow Carrie at eCarrieO.
eCarrieO.
Subscribe.
Like.
Leave a fucking
comment. You know, report me if you want.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you need. Just engage with me.
Engage.
Thank you.
Bye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row?
Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.